Blog Talk Radio.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Oh, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. You know, people are going to ask me, are you going to say that every program? Yes, I am, because the Bible is right, and I'm glad about it. In a world that abounds with all kinds of ads and appeals and this and that and the other thing, and a lot of times you find out it's not true. I'm just happy that there is something that is true, amen, that is right, that does tell the truth, and that's the Bible, amen. We can depend on the Bible to tell the truth, and I'm glad about it, and I'm going to say it, amen. God bless you tonight, beloved. Y'all know I love you. Glory to God. Anyway, God has permitted us to be in His Word, and He's guided us, and we're presently in the book of Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and we're considering the 16th verse tonight. Amen. And glory to God. I'm going to talk about this verse prima facie, just what it means straight up. But then I want to talk about the secret of happiness, the secret of happiness. Amen. So let's get into the verse. We're considering Proverbs 15:16 from the King James Version. And in the King James Version, Proverbs 15, verse 16 says, quote, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great trouble with, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Amen. And to sum that up real quick, A little with God is infinitely more than great treasure, and the people you're sharing it with, you have nothing but hatred and strife around you. Amen? To have all that wealth and have nothing but strife around you. You can't enjoy the wealth. You may have the wealth, but you can't enjoy it. But you can have a little with God, and because you have His Spirit living on the inside of you, you can have a continual feast. Amen? And that's what verse 15 last week we said. It says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. That's what we touched upon last week. You can have a continuous feast by having joy of the Lord. Amen? But here it says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble therewith. And you know, beloved, you get a hint that with great treasure, there's trouble with great treasure for some people, for the majority of people, because one, they don't know how to handle great wealth. They don't know how to handle great treasure. And the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. People get great treasure, and they set their heart upon that treasure. Amen? And when you set your heart upon that treasure, glory to God, that steals away the joy of the Lord. It steals away happiness. It steals away. You see, with wealth, when you have great wealth, wealth comes with problems. Because, first of all, people say, oh, no, I'll be the same person I was before. No, you won't. No, you won't. Automatically, you won't be the same person. The fact that you can go out and buy anything you want, makes you a different person right there. And then the fact that you've got to do something with that wealth. I'm not talking about a couple of thousand dollars, okay? We're talking, it says great wealth here, great treasure, great wealth. When you have great wealth, guess what happens? You have to start considering how to handle that wealth. What are you going to do with that wealth? That right there. See, you weren't sitting down for hours contemplating how you were going to deal with your wealth before. All of a sudden, now you have to start considering what you're going to do with that great wealth. That's a change right there for you. And then even if you want to give it away to friends and family, you might give some wealth to friends and family, but you never know the damage. You never know what the consequences is going to be when you give great wealth to somebody. How about that gentleman who won $300 million in the lottery, and he gave his granddaughter a great deal of money? He had no idea. He had no idea what she was going to do. He thought she was going to use it all for good, buy a car, clothes, things like that. She went out and bought pure cocaine. She didn't know to cut it. She bought pure cocaine and overdosed and died on it. And his wife told him, "I wish you had never won the money. We were a happy family. You won that money, and it's destroyed us." So there's people, they can't handle great wealth. It throws them. Amen? And why do you think in Proverbs 10:22, I think it's something like that, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Why? Because a lot of people that get wealth, sorrow is added to it. Sorrow is added to it. People say that they can handle great wealth, but they can't really handle great wealth because they don't understand the problems that come with wealth. They don't understand how there was people who won the lottery, came into great wealth, gave it to family members, and instead of they didn't know the consequences. They didn't know how the family members were going to react. They got the exact opposite reaction than they thought, because the family members got very upset with them and refused to talk to them any longer, because they said, you gave us some money, but you didn't give us enough. You could have made us independently wealthy, and all you gave us was $100,000. You could have made us independently wealthy, but you chose not to do that, and so we're not speaking to you anymore. It was in your power to do, but you wouldn't do it. He thought they was just going to be blessed with $100,000, but they weren't. They wanted more. Amen? You never know. And I've seen people change. They will be, they're sweet, but they get financially independent. Oh, my goodness, they get hard to live with. They get demanding. They get self-will. They get to the place where they kiss off everybody because they feel, "I don't need you. I don't need you. I got my money. I don't need you." You think, "I'll have money. It won't affect me. Everything will be the same." Yeah, that's what you say. But you don't know what's in a person's heart. And you give them the money. And then how many rich people? I saw this program one time. I think it was 60 Minutes. And they showed this extremely wealthy man. I mean, this man was wealthy. He had something like 21 houses all over the world, had this gigantic super yacht, and he'd fly into the super yacht in his helicopter maybe once a year, maybe twice, but once a year. And he'd just sit on it and ride around a little bit. And he himself said, "I would give half my wealth if I could find somebody that really loved me, not for my money, not for what I could do for them, but who really loved me." So then you got that problem. You don't know who loves you or who's in it for the money. Amen? And then I've read stories of rich men who have said that their money, their great wealth, didn't bring them 1 minute of happiness. Not one. Not one. Not 1 minute of happiness. It didn't bring them not 1 minute of happiness. But the average person, all they think about is, oh, when I get wealthy, me and my friend, we're just going to have a wonderful time. You think that. You think that. Because look at it. You're free because you have great wealth. They're not free. You want to jump on your super yacht and go for a nice ride. They got to go to work Monday morning. They're not like you anymore. You're not like them anymore. You just tell yourself, everything going to be the same. Money ain't going to change me. You know, James Brown had that song, Money Won't Change You. But I'm sorry, money will. Glory to God. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5. Your people think money is just the answer to everything. Now look at Ecclesiastes 5, 10, 11, and 12. Let's look at that. It says in the King James Version, quote, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. People say, oh, when I get wealthy, I'll be satisfied. No, you won't. No, you won't. You won't be satisfied. There's nothing in it to make you satisfied. Just because you can pay your bills and go out and buy 3 cars, 2 trucks, and a big $500,000 home. Now, you tell me, just off the top of your head, is a $500,000 home going to satisfy you? Is that come on now. I'm talking about satisfy your soul. I ain't talking about you got a nice house. $500,000 house, you should have in most places except New York and California. $500,000 is down payment there. But in most small towns in America and in the countryside, if you've got a $500,000 house, you probably have a very nice house. I want to come over Thanksgiving. Amen? But come on, tell the truth now. You got a $500,000 house. You got 2 trucks outside and 3 cars. Is that going to satisfy you? Is that going to satisfy you? You mean you think a truck is going to satisfy you? Now, I'm not saying it's not going to be nice to drive around in that truck. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that in a luxury car with all the gadgets and stuff, that ain't cool. It's fun playing with that stuff. But soul satisfaction, that's going to satisfy you deep down inside? No, you're just going to have nice stuff. That ain't going to satisfy you. And that's exactly what the Bible says here. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And then in verse 12, listen to this. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. The abundance, the Bible says that rich people, that their riches will not suffer them to sleep. So here you got all this money. You can't even sleep. You can't even sleep. You going to tell me you're going to be satisfied? Come on now. Yeah, money ain't going to change me. When I get it, I'll be the same old guy. No, that's what you think, but you don't know. Look, the other thing is, the rich got problems you don't got. But when you get rich, you'll get them. What's the problem the rich got that you don't have? Kidnapping. You don't have to worry about being kidnapped when you're poor. But when you're filthy rich, not only do you have to worry about being kidnapped, you have to worry about your wife and your children. You have to worry about your children. Amen? Glory to God. There's problems. The Bible says with great riches, you can't even sleep. Hold on. We're up against a commercial. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
What's the revelation out of the Bible here? What's the revelation we get? What does the natural mind say? Oh, boy, if I could just have wealth, if I could just have money, I'd have it made. I'd be happy, everything. That's not – listen to what the revelation of the Bible is. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. Better is little with the Lord. Better is little with the Lord. Then great riches and trouble. Better is little. Little is better. Little is better. That's the revelation of the Bible. Amen? Because if you really look at it deeply, the life of faith is a carefree life. Why? Because you give it all over to God. You put it in his hands. But when you have great wealth, you got to handle it. You got to handle it. Who's going to – let's say you get $300 million. You're going to tell me you're going to sit down and not think about what to do with that $300 million? Is that what you're going to try to tell Pastor? I know better. You're going to have to sit there and try to figure out what is I'm going to do with this $300 million. Now, you can tell me, no, you're going to put your mind on the Lord and all that. Okay, if you want to fool yourself. But in reality, at some point in time, you're going to have to sit down and think about that great wealth. Amen? Glory to God. Now, see, God is actually, God has given men the best life. But because men wrestle with the faith life, they think the faith life is a burden. God, I don't want to have faith. Just give it to me. Let me know what to do. I don't want to have to believe for nothing. Just give. They see the faith life as a life of toil, not understanding that the faith life is the carefree life. Actually, God wanted you to be free, so he gave you the carefree life, but you want the great wealth. I understand it because I've been there. I've been there. Glory to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Everything, no debt, everything paid off, big house, everything. Amen. I've been there. I understand, glory to God, but God knows what he's doing. So he gives us the faith life so we can cast it all on him. Glory to God. But, glory to God, most people don't know what the secret of happiness is. And you can tell them the secret of happiness, and it go in one ear and out the other ear. The secret of happiness really, in real life, in real reality, the secret of life, the secret of happiness is where you put your thought life. Where you put your thought life. If you have a clear conscience toward God and men, that's priceless. A clear conscience, that's priceless. And then if you're instructed in the scriptures and you obey Jesus, he said for us to forgive men their trespasses. And if we didn't forgive men their trespasses, neither would God forgive us our trespasses. So if you've got a clear conscience and you're trained in the scriptures and you do the will of God and forgive, you've forgiven everybody, there's no bitterness stored up in you, and then the grand secret of happiness is what you think about. High thoughts elevate your mind. Beastly thoughts take your mind down. Amen? Meditating on the Word of God. Look at Psalms 1. In the very first Psalm, what's it talk about? It talks about meditating in the Word of God. Amen? It talks about meditating in the Word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In his law doth he meditate day and night. What does Joshua 1:8 say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I didn't quote that exactly, but you know what I'm saying. It says that when you meditate in that day and night, glory to God, then you shall have good success. Amen. You'll make your way prosperous. Amen. Glory to God. And then Psalm 119, 165. Me and my precious niece, we were talking about this earlier. I think it was last week, something like that. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace, great peace, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Great peace have they that love thy law. You want peace? You want happiness? Be in the word of God, the law of the Lord, the word of God. Amen. And then 119, 113. What 119, 113 say? 119, 113 say, the psalmist said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. What was he talking about? You could be flowing in the Holy Ghost, having wonderful thoughts. Whoa, you're going up, 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 up. And then you start thinking about what's for dinner. A vain thought, what's for dinner? When are we going to do this? When am I going to do that? Amen. What that do? That ruins it. Amen. Glory to God. You were going up, 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 but then you come down, 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 down. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Where you put your thought life. Amen. Jesus said his words were spirit and they were truth in John 6:63. And then in Romans 8:6, let me get that real quick. Romans 8:6 say, I think I want to go put it in context. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. 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 Amen. The secret of happiness is where you put your mind, glory to God. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus said that you couldn't serve God and mammon. So you get a steward and you let him handle your wealth and you serve. Don't serve a mammon. Put mammon in a steward's hands. And you serve God, and you put your mind on God and the things of God, and you'll have a continual feast because you'll be spiritually minded, and the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen? What kind of steward? Open up an account at Vanguard or account at BlackRock and give it to them and tell them to send you an income every month, send you $10,000 every month. Glory to God, because you're used to getting a paycheck. Amen. You can handle that, and then you don't have to put your mind on your money. They know how to deal with hundreds of millions. You don't. You just think you do. You just think you do, but it'll overthrow you. Amen. You have to be real about this thing. Amen. Glory to God. If you want to be happy, it's where you put your mind. If you put your mind on the word of God and on God, glory to God. Glory to God. You'll go up, 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 up. You'll elevate yourself. You'll find happiness. You'll find peace. You'll find joy will spring up in your heart and in your mind. You know, today I was listening to the Blood of the Lamb. A gentleman on a CD was singing about the Blood of the Lamb. And I was happy, 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 happy. Got home and needed to do something. I wanted to do something. And I got into that and was doing that, and it's not that happiness left me, but it wasn't the kind of happiness I had when I was concentrating, listening to that song and taking it in, drinking it in, and letting it minister to my spirit. I got busy with other things, and I visibly noticed that the level of happiness went way down. The level of joy went, not that I was devoid of joy and happiness, because I got it right now, amen? But I'm talking about full of joy and happiness, amen? Glory to God. Okay, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know. All right, well, I give you this example. How many times have you gone to church, and when you were on your way to church, you were not bubbling over with happiness? Rather than say that you were a little down, I won't go that far, because you're a child of God. You're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Glory to God. You're an overcomer. You've learned to be an overcomer through trusting Christ. Glory to God. And so, but let's just say you went to church and you were so-so. But notice how you feel when you come out of church. You're on top of the world. Amen. Jesus done got your feet to dancing. Amen. Now, what happened? What happened? It was where you put your mind. When you were going to church, you were still thinking about all them bills or that situation or them circumstances or how your body feels. It don't feel too good. You don't feel good in your body. But when you get in church and you hear that music and you hear the word of God, woo, boy, oh boy, Jesus got your feet to dancing, amen? Now, what was the result of that? Where you put your mind? Where was your mind? The Bible says to be spiritually minded, glory to God, is peace. Amen? Glory to God. It's peace. It's joy. It's happiness. Glory to God. The secret of happiness is not the circumstance that you're in. You can be in a terrible circumstance and be happy. Amen? Let's say you have to go to, I'll give you something very mundane. Say you have to get some maintenance work done on your car, and you're going to take it down to the shop, and you know you're going to be sitting there for an hour or two for your car is ready. Now, you can sit there and think about nothing or think about your problems or your bills, or you can think about, oh, God, please don't make this so expensive. Cause the mechanic not to charge me $1,000, okay? Or you can get out the Word of God and get in the Word and be laughing and enjoying yourself and fellowshipping with the Spirit. Oh, you feel so good. Amen. Glory to God. You feel. Amen. Now, what happened? It's your car. You got to get it fixed. Ain't the situation kind of troublesome? If you let it be troublesome, glory to God. I'm telling you the secret of happiness. People say, oh, if I just had a house. Oh, if I just had a truck. Oh, if I just had another car. Oh, if I had more income. Oh, if I just had two jobs. Oh, if I just had this, if I just had that. Things will not satisfy you. Isn't that what Ecclesiastes said? He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. All that stuff won't satisfy you. I'm trying to tell you because I experienced it and know I'm telling you the truth. The Bible has the answers. It has the answers. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace, happiness, joy. Like we said last week when we were talking about that song, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. You get right happy when you start thinking about the Lord and what he's done for you. Or when you think about, glory to God, you know, I was in a restaurant and I was getting some food and a couple walked up to the cash register and I overheard the conversation as I was eating. And they said, could we speak to the manager, please? And I'm eating my food, but I'm overhearing what they're saying. And so they go get the manager. And the man of the couple said, he said, sir, my name is whatever his name was, John Doe. He said, and me and this young lady here, we're homeless and we're hungry. Could you have anything that you could give us to eat? And the manager said, no. He said, the corporate office won't allow us to give food. We can't give food out. But the point was, you talk about being glad inside. Jesus don't have you homeless. Jesus don't have you begging for food. I mean, when you think about what you have, glory to God, you know the secret to depression? I'll tell you the secret to depression. It's just like that song says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what the Lord has done. Amen. What's depression? I'm depressed about this. I'm depressed about that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like my husband's a gorilla. He treats me bad. My wife burns my bacon. She don't cook breakfast for me. She don't love me no more. Only thing I am is an ATM machine to her. Glory to God. See, you think them thoughts, how you going to be happy? How you going to be glad? Happiness is whoso hath a wife hath a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Oh, I thank God for my family. I thank God for my house. I'm out of time. I'm over time. The Bible has the answers. See you next week. The secret of happiness is what you think on. God bless you. See you next week. Bye-bye.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never